We're holding on Ches Amud Aleph, about a third of the way down the Amud. The line begins Nema. So we discussed a machloikas. We started with a machloikas of Reb Nachman and of Sheshes about whether Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur or Hutra B'Tzibur. Where Reb Nachman had said it's Hutra B'Tzibur, meaning that even L'Hatchila, we can bring Korbanas Tzibur B'Tumah. We don't make any effort. We don't make we make a slight effort, but we don't make any major effort to make sure that Korbanas Tzibur should be able to be brought B'Tahara. If it can be just as easily done B'Tahara as B'Tumah, then of course we'll do it B'Tahara. But according to one version, not even, but if there's going to, but definitely if there's going to be any hassle involved in making it B'Tahara, then we're just going to make it B'Tumah and have done with it. Whereas according to Rav Sheshes, we said that it's only Tumah D'chuya B'Tzibur, it's only B'Dieved D'Kafein. So therefore, we'll make every effort to try and make it B'Tahara, and only if we can't will we go ahead and make it B'Tumah. So we related this to a Machlokes Tanoim, where we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon arguing over that very point, in connection with the issue about the tzitz making a korban acceptable, where Rabbi Yehuda holds it works only when the kohen is wearing the tzitz, and Rabbi Shimon holds it works even when he's not wearing the tzitz, and Rabbi Shimon uses the expression that Rabbi Yehuda uses the expression tumah d'chuya b'tzibur, which implies therefore that Rabbi Shimon holds tumah hutra b'tzibur. So we related it to that machlokes. So now the Gemara says, Nema hani tanoi kahani tanoi. Should we say that this machlokes tanoim of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is the same as another machlokes tanoim? Titania, we learn in a braisa. Echad zeh. Both the kohen gadol who's going to be doing the avodah of Yom Kippur and the kohen gadol who's going to be burning the parah adoma, as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, both of them have to be separated for 7 days and go in a lishka someplace in the Beis HaMikdash. We said at the beginning, Tosfos Yeshanim had discussed for the Parah Adumah, doesn't need to be a Kohen Gadol, or is it enough that it can be a regular Kohen as well? Whatever. Both of them, Mazin Olav Kol Shiva, we sprinkle on them all 7 days, Mikol Chatois Shoyisham, from all the Chatois, meaning all the Parah Adumahs that were there. So we talked about this the other day. There were 9 Parah Adumahs from Moshe Rabbeinu's was the first. Ezra prepared the second one, beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. And then from then, throughout the rest of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were 7 more Parah Adumahs. And then the 10th, so you had 9 altogether. And the 10th one, Mashiach, will prepare, or it'll be prepared under his supervision, be made of Yemenu. So when we say they would sprinkle on him from all the chatois that were there, so there's a few different possibilities. Does it mean that they would mix together the ashes, some of the ashes of each of the ones that they had, and sprinkle on him? Does it mean that they would sprinkle on him each day from a different one? Or does it mean that each day they would use the ashes of the original one from Moshe Rabbeinu, that some of those ashes were still left, mixed together with the ashes of the latest one? So let's say, for example, if the Kohen Gadol is now getting ready to prepare the 8th Parah Adumah, that means there were 7 before, so they would take the ashes of the first one of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's mixed together with the 7th one, which is the most recent one, and sprinkle on him. Whatever the case, the point is, the Mishnah, the Braisa rather, is saying that they would sprinkle on him throughout all the 7 days, each day of the 7 days. Divrei Reb Meir, that's what Reb Meir says. Rabbi Yossi says they would sprinkle on both of them, both before Yom Kippur and for the Parah Adumah. They would be sprinkling only on the 3rd and the 7th day, which, after all, if we're talking as far as Tumas Nes, that's all you need. The Pasuk says in Parshas Parah that all you need is the 3rd and the 7th day. Rav Chanina Skana Koyinim says halfway in between. Koyin Asorif Saparah Mazin Olav Kol Shiva. The Koyin who's going to be burning the Parah Adumah is sprinkled each of the 7 days. But Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim ein mazin olav ela shlishi u'shvi. But the one who's going to be doing the avodah on Yom Kippur, we sprinkle on him only the 3rd and the 7th. So At least as far as the first two opinions, my lav b'ha kamiflegi, b'hai kamiflegi, b'ha kamiflegi. So shouldn't we say then that this is the underlying machlokes? Now, why would Rabbi Meir be saying that you sprinkle on him every day? L'chora, the reason is, Rabbi Meir holds that tumah is only dechuya, therefore we want the highest possible level of tahara, and the point is, so why should we be sprinkling him every day? Because every day, well, with the exception of the fourth day, as the Gemara is going to go on to say later, every day we may have a suffix whether today is the third or the seventh day since he became tamei. When you think about it, the first day, for example, the first day of his prisha, it might actually be he became tamei 2 days ago, and today is the third day, and therefore we should sprinkle him. The second day might also be the second day of his prisha might also be the third day since he became tamei. The third day, same thing. The fourth day, the Gemara is going to say later, fine. The fourth day, there's no reason to think that, because it can't be once he's separated, we know he didn't become tamei, and it can't be the seventh day either, because there's only a seventh day if there was a third day before, only if he was sprinkled 4 days earlier, and he wasn't. But you continue in the same logic. The fifth, sixth, and seventh days could each conceivably be the seventh day. So therefore, the Meir would be saying that we want to sprinkle him every day in order to make 100% sure that he's tahor, because tumah is only dechuya b'tzibur. On the other hand, so that would be Rav Meir, but Rav Yosi Sava tumah heter he b'tzibur, whereas Rav Yosi would hold tumah hutra b'tzibur. So therefore, we don't have to really be machmir in it. The whole thing is only a mila ba'alma. The whole thing is only an extra chumrah that we learned a few days ago, that we learn the whole according to one mandamer, according to the Yechanan, we learn the whole concept of prisha from the Miluim, where they had to be separated for 7 days. There it says they had hazah, but you shouldn't need hazah every day. To have it the third and the seventh day is enough. Now, by there, they had hazah every day, but that wasn't hazah for Tumas Nes. That was before there was a Parah Adumah anyway. But as far as this, as far as cleaning them up from Tumas Nes, it would be enough to do it just on. It would be enough to just do it on the third and seventh day. Actually, Tosfos asks the question. In that case, then what about the Parah Adumah? Is not something that's doicha tumah. But the answer is, Tosfos says, okay, but on the other hand, the Parah Adumah, we know that a Tevul Yom is kosher, as we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta. So therefore, it's not like we know that he was Tomei. If we know that he was Tomei, sure, then we have to sprinkle him. But the whole thing is only a suffix, whether he was Tomei. And the whole thing is only a mile of Alma. So according to Rav Yosi, the third and the seventh day is quite enough. So then it comes out that Rav Meir holds so Rav Meir would hold tumah dechuya hibetzibur, which would be like Rav Yehuda, and would also be then like Rav Sheshes, whereas Rav Yosi would be holding like Rav Shimon and like Rav Nachman that it's chutz hibetzibur. The Gemara says v'tisbara. How could you think that way? If Rabbi Yosi really holds that tumah chutz hibetzibur hazah klal lamali, then why do you need any hazah at all? It's not like we know that he was tamei in order to say, well, then he definitely needs to be sprinkled. The whole thing is only in case he became tamei. According to Rav Yosi, why would we bother doing hazah at all? Now, here's where you have the question, which Tosfos Yishanim bring up, that we've said before, that you have most of the korbanos that he's bringing on Yom Kippur are korbanos tzibur, so fine, those we would say tumah hutra b'tzibur. We had two of them are his personal korbanos, so one of them is his par, but we said, okay, fine, the par is a special case because the korbanos tzibur depend on it. He can't bring the sur l'ashem and then shecht it and then sprinkle the blood of it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim until he does the par. So therefore, in that sense, that one would be counted like a korban tzibur as well. What about his ayil? What about his ram? So Tosfos says that Tosfos over here says, as we discussed a few days ago, that over here again, it's only a suffix. Whether he said it's not even a suffix, it's only a chashash that he might have become tummy. We're not going to, if we said tumah hutra b'tzibur, we wouldn't bother sprinkling him with parah adumah water just for the sake of that one carbon in case he was tummy. Worst comes to worst, even if it was tummy vaday, we could have somebody else bring that ram on his behalf. We say that the Kohen Gadol has to do all the avodah of Yom Kippur, but okay, if he was actually Vaday Tomei, then fine, we'd make an exception and have somebody else bring this one, and he would bring all the other ones. But just to do Hazad, just because of one particular korban, when the whole thing is only a hashash, that we're not going to bother, especially because to a certain extent, again, it is considered like a korban sibur in the sense that it has kavua leizman, it has a fixed time for it. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you can't say that Rabbi Yossi says that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that according to him, there'd be no reason to even bother with sprinkling him with Parah Adumah water at all. Ela D'Kulei Alma Hani Tanoi Sabri Tumah D'Chuyi B'Tzibur. No. Rather, what we're going to say is both of these, so it's not the same, we're not going to say that this is the same machlokes as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and as Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Sheshes. We're going to say that both of these Tanoim hold Tumah D'Chuyi Hibetzibur. They're going to both hold, like Rav Sheshes and like Rav Yehuda, that Tumah is only D'Chuyi, not Hutra Betzibur. So therefore, we do want to take as many steps as possible to make sure as much as possible that the Korbanos are being brought B'Tara. V'hocha v'hocha Mifri. Rather, the machloikas between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is as follows. Rav Meir Sover Amrin Tzvila B'Zman HaMitzvah. Rav Meir holds that we say the mitzvah, the ideal mitzvah, is to tovel at the first possible opportunity when you're able to. Meaning, in other words, so now, a tummy mess, what happens? He gets sprinkled with parah adumah water twice, third and seventh day. After that, he's supposed to go to the mikvah on the seventh day, and then he has head of shemesh and he's tahor. So now, Rav Meir holds that when we do, the pasuk says v'chitei b'yem ashvi v'chibas gadav v'rochatz, that on the seventh day the kohen cleanses him and then he goes to the mikveh and then one and tovels himself in his clothes. The point of that pasuk, Rav Meir says, is to tell us that he should tovel on the seventh day, meaning don't say, well, it's fine, I'll delay it for another day. It's a mitzvah to tovel on the actual seventh day itself. And he says the same thing would be as far as the hazah. Therefore, again, we want to make sure, we want to sprinkle on him every day, says Rav Meir, because today might be the third day, today might be the seventh day. So let's say, for example, we sprinkle him on the fifth day, and he tovels, in case that day is, in fact, the seventh day since he became Tomei, and we want him to have Tevila Bizmano. And the same thing each of the other days. Rabbi Yossi Sava, Loyamrin, Tevila Bizmano, mitzvah, whereas Rabbi Yossi would say we don't say that. It's just as fine to tovel on the seventh day or on the eighth day or on the ninth day or whatever. There's no particular inyan to tovel on the day that you have to. According to him, the Gemara explains in Kedushin, Rashi refers to it over here, that we learn something else. We learn that Dafka has to be the third and set. We learn that it Dafka has to be the third and seventh days. You can't, for example, do it, let's say, the third and sixth day. You get only 3 days apart. The Gemara goes on to say over there, other Tmeim as well. You shouldn't think that maybe they don't need Tevila at all on the Atomic Mess. So according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no particular mitzvah to tovel on the day that you're able to. So therefore, according to the mayor, we want to sprinkle him every day in case today is the seventh day. And Rabbi Yossi doesn't care about that, but both of them would hold Tumah D'Chuyi B'Tzibur. So the question is, Sover Rabbi Yossi La'amrin Tevila B'Zman HaMitzvah. So what does that mean then? You're telling me that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold that Tevila B'Zmana is a mitzvah. V'hotanya, but we learn in a b'raisa, Harei Shehoi Yashem Kosev Al-Basorei, suppose that a name of Hashem is written on a person's skin. So now you have two problems. Number one is you're not allowed to erase it, because you're not allowed to erase names of Hashem. Another problem is that you're not allowed to stand undressed in front of Hashem's name. Therefore, Hareza lo yuchatz. So he's not allowed to wash, because if he washes, then he might erase the name. So one reason is because he might erase it. So Rashi says because he might erase the name. Tosfos Yeshanim says that's not the problem. If he does, it would only be a grumma. Rather, Tosfos Yeshanim says because as the Gemara goes on to explain, and we learned this in Shabbos, the problem is that he's gonna be standing in front of Hashem's name undressed. V'lo yosuch, and he's not allowed to smear his skin with oil, same problem. V'lo yamad b'makom atinokos, he's not allowed to stand in a filthy place, a place where there's urine or excrement, because of the name of Hashem that's on his skin. And the Braisa continues, nizdam nolo tevilo shel mitzvah, what happens if he has to tovel for a mitzvah, where he was tomei and now he has to tovel? And So again, what does he do in order to avoid erasing Hashem's name and in order to not stand in front of Hashem's name undressed? Kurdach olav gemi, he should wrap gemi, which is some kind of grass around it, to Rashi says that the purpose of the gemi is to prevent the water from washing away the name. Again, according to Tosfos Yeshanim, rather, it's in order that he shouldn't be standing undressed in front of Hashem's name. The tovel, and then he can tovel. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't need gemi. Just go down and tovel normally. As long as he doesn't rub his skin, because then that would definitely be erasing Hashem's name with his bare hands. V'kaimelon, now in the Gemara in Shabbos, when it discusses this braisa, it explains the betzibul of zman mitzvah kamiflagi, the machlokes of the chachamim, the machlokes of the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, is on this question of tevilah b'zman mitzvah. So the question is, in other words, the Tanakhama is saying you have to have gemi. So what happens if you don't have gemi available? Then according to the Tanakhama, you're not going to be able to tovel. Whereas Rabbi Yossi wants you to be able to tovel in time, and therefore he says, never mind looking for gemi. If you can find some easily, sure, go ahead. But otherwise, don't avoid doing your tevilah because you don't have gemi. Just go ahead and tovel anyway. So we know in the Gemara elsewhere in Shabbos that the underlying machlokes is about tefillah b'zman mitzvah. The Tanakhama sava lo yamrin tefillah b'zman mitzvah. The Tanakhama holds we do not say that tefillah b'zman is a mitzvah. So therefore, we don't care if he can't find gemi. You don't find gemi, find tovel tomorrow when you can find some. Whereas Rav Yossi Savar, Amrin and Tevilah B'Zman HaMitzvah. And Rav Yossi holds, we do say Tevilah B'Zman HaMitzvah. So therefore, so Fakir, Rav Yossi is the one who says Tevilah B'Zman HaMitzvah. How are you understanding the Machlokes where Rav Yossi is saying that we don't need to sprinkle the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur or for the Parah Adruma every day, only the third and seventh day, that it's because he holds Tevilah B'Zman is not a mitzvah, and therefore that, for example, we can sprinkle him on the third and the seventh day and not worry that maybe he became Tomei a few days ago and then we're delaying his tevilah unnecessarily. Rabbi Yossi is the one from this braisa that we just saw that holds that tevilah b'zman is a mitzvah. Now, Ela dekulei amala hani tanoi amrin tevilah b'zman a mitzvah. No, what we're going to say is between these tanoim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, both of them hold tevilah b'zman a mitzvah. Rab Yossi, based on the braisa we just said, and Rab Meir, because that would explain why Rab Meir wants him to be sprinkled with Parah Adruma water every day, so that way he can tovel as soon as possible, as soon as it's the mitzvah. This point of tevilah b'zman mitzvah, by the way, comes up in various other places in Shas. For example, in Masechta Nida, you have a case over there of a woman who has a suffix, whether she's a zava and whether she's a yeledis, and so forth, and there's a whole bunch of times, according to some opinions, that she needs to tovel. In fact, Tosfos refers over here to, there's a Gemara in Nida that talks about this and says that there's two different Rabbi Yossis. There's Rabbi Yossi Reb Chalafto, who is regular Rabbi Yossi in Shas, and then there's Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda holds Tevilah B'Zmana is not a mitzvah. But the difference is Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda is the next generation. Here we have Reb Meir arguing with him. Therefore, we have to assume, says Tosfos, that this is regular Rabbi Yossi Reb Chalafto. And he, we know from the braisa we just quoted, says that tevilah b'zman a mitzvah. Tosfos also discusses the question. We're gonna actually talk about this matter of tevilah b'zman a mitzvah also at the very end of our masechta, in connection with the question. So, if a person is tomei, can they tovel on Yom Kippur? We know you're not allowed to wash yourself on Yom Kippur. Is there an exception for a person who's tomei to be able to tovel on Yom Kippur? So nowadays, since we don't keep the dinim of Tumah V'Tara, then the answer is no, because the only so if we said Tevila B'Zmana Mitzvah, then it would mean that he could actually, because the fact of the matter is that even if we're not toveling for Tumah V'Tara, we only have a woman is toveling to be mutter to her husband. If we said Tevila B'Zmana Mitzvah, then nevertheless she would tovel on Yom Kippur. But Lamaisis, the Tosfos discusses that the Rabbeinu Tam says Tevila B'Zmana is not mitzvah. Therefore, there's no heter to tovel on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av. The only reason to tovel then would be the only reason to tovel then nowadays that we don't have Tumah V'Tara. Don't tovel on Yom Kippur. Tovel after Yom Kippur, especially because if a woman is toveling to be mutter to her husband, they're also on Yom Kippur to each other anyhow. One of the things you can't do on Yom Kippur is have relations. So therefore, there's no reason to tovel on Yom Kippur. And Lamaisa, we see that a woman tovels just at the end of a woman doesn't. We don't. If we said Tevila B'Zmana Mitzvah nowadays, where women are suffix nidus, suffix zavis, we don't make them go to the mikveh a bunch of times in case today is the last day when you tahor. So we see that Tevila B'Zmana is not mitzvah. But then he goes on to say that the Rabbeinu Hananel learns differently and says that that Tevila B'Zmana is mitzvah. Lamaisa, we say that Tevila B'Zmana is not mitzvah. Fine. So what we're going to say is, continues the Gemara, so no, we're going to say Reb Meir and Reb Yossi in the original Braisa that we quoted with their machlokas about how many times we sprinkle him, they're going to both hold Tevila B'Zmana Mitzvah. Therefore, so that explains Reb Meir's opinion, why we sprinkle him every day in order that he should be able to tovel in time. What about Reb Yossi? Rather, the machlokas is as follows. Reb Meir suffer makshin and hazal the Tevila. Reb Meir says we make a hekesh between tevila and between hazah and tevila. Given that the pasuk tells us that hazah has to take place on the third and the seventh day, then Reb Meir says the same thing. So hazah and tevila are both the same thing. If we're saying that tevila bismana is mitzvah, then hazah bismana is also a mitzvah. Therefore, we want to sprinkle them every day. Because today might be the third day, or today might be the seventh day, and we want to do it on the actual day that it's supposed to be. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says we don't have a hekesh. And when it says shlish yoshvi, this means that you have to have always 4 days between one hazah and another, and that the first hazah can't be less than 3 days before he became tameh. But according to Rabbi Yossi, if you decide instead of the third and the seventh day, you do them the fourth and the eighth day, or the fifth and the ninth, or whatever, then Rabbi Yossi doesn't care about that. In fact, actually, now what would that mean? According to the Yossi, would it have to be that there are davka 4 days between hazahs? What if, according to the Yossi, according to what we're saying now in the Gemara, what if you did it, let's say, the third day and the eighth day, so they're 5 days apart? Would that work? It sounds like, from what Rashi is saying, that no, it wouldn't work. You davka have to have 4 days between one hazah and the next. And one thing that would mean, therefore, is, for example, since Derabbanan, you can't do Hazah on Shabbos, then that would mean you can't have the first Hazah on Tuesday, because then the second one would have to be 4 days later on Shabbos, and you can't do that. On the other hand, Tosfos Yeshanim discusses over here that maybe not. Maybe all it means is there has to be at least 4 days between them, but there could be 5 days or six or whatever, it wouldn't matter. So according to him, you could do the first Hazah on Tuesday and the second one on Shabbos. The second one after Shabbos, rather. The second one could be on Sunday. So the point is then, so now that we understand the machlokas that way, then that's why Rabbi Yossi is saying you just have to sprinkle them the third and the seventh day. What you're calling the third day might really be the fourth or fifth or sixth since it became Tomei. Doesn't matter. As long as you do two hazahs, 4 days apart, that's good enough according to Rabbi Yossi. Whereas Reb Meir is saying that given that Tevila B'Zmana Mitzvah, something which we're saying Reb Yossi agrees to, then Reb Meir is saying also that means Hazah B'Zmana is a mitzvah. And therefore, you need the Hazah to be done on the actual third day. And therefore, we want to sprinkle them every day in case today is the third day. And we want to sprinkle them every day in case today is the seventh day. So the Gemara says... So that explains Reb Meir's opinion and Reb Yossi's opinion. What about Reb Chanina Skana Koyanim? Now, Reb Chanina Skana Koyanim, we said, had taken sort of a middle view. He said that before Yom Kippur, he only needs to be sprinkled on the third and seventh, but before the Parah Adumah, he needs to be sprinkled every day. So what's his opinion? E makish hazar l'tvila. If he holds a hekish between hazar and tvila, like Rav Meir does, I feel a kohen b'yom kippurim nami. Then even the kohen gadol before Yom Kippur should need to be sprinkled every day, like before the parah adoma. E loy makish hazar l'tvila. And if, on the other hand, he holds that there's no hekish between hazar and tvila, I feel a kohen asur of sapona nami loy. Then you shouldn't need it for the kohen who's going to be burning the parah adoma either. So why is he saying in one case yes and in the other case not? The answer is la'olam le'makish. Really, he doesn't make it a hekish. He holds like Rabbi Yossi that there's no that we don't compare hazar to tvila. So he explains rather, as we said, tvila bismana is a mitzvah. The chibas begodov that has he has to tovel on the seventh day. The v'chitei bayem hashvi rather teaches us. Tosfos discusses over here that. That he would say that Bayem Ashvi is focusing on the tevila, not on the hazar, because the hazar we already know from earlier pesukim has to take place on the seventh day. So he would hold there's no hekish between them. The koyin asar is not part of myla ba'alma. But again, when it comes to the koyin bruning the parah adoma, we make a myla. We make, as we said before, a lot of extra chumras that we apply to him in order that people shouldn't get careless with it, shouldn't think that it can be done by tumah, given that it can be done by tevoyim. So therefore, as a myla ba'alma, we sprinkle him every day, like in order to demonstrate to everybody that he's as tahor as possible, except for being a tevoyim, of course. But not that we should really be required to, because hazar bismana is not particularly a mitzvah, like Rabbi Yosef says. So the Gemara says, now, among these three opinions, Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, and Rav Chanina Skanakarinim, Kiman Ozla, like which of them does it go, Hod Etonin Abonon, this that we learn in a Braisa, Ein Ben Koyin Asorov Zapara L'Koyin Godob Yom Kippurim, there's no difference between the Koyin who burns the Parah Adoma and the Koyin Godob who's preparing for Yom Kippur, Ella, with the exception of Shazepri Shasa L'Kyusha, that the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, the reason for his separation is because of Kedusha, is because he's going in, he's going to be going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's going to be going into Machne Shechina. And so we want to, so Rashi explains, we want to make sure that he's serious about it. We want to make sure that he's separated from any Kalos Rosh. So therefore we separate him from people for 7 days and we put him in this chamber and that makes him have a certain Ema, a certain, like we said a few days ago, like before, like Moshe Rabbeinu on that this way he has a certain aimer, he has a certain fear and a certain seriousness when he's separated from people for 7 days. But since his separation is for Kedusha, and we're not so worried about Tumah, the Echav HaKoyinim Nogin Boi, the other Koyinim are allowed to touch him during that time, because he's in the Azara. You don't have people who are Tomei in there. So therefore, anybody who's touching him is going to be Tahor. So we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem with other people touching him, because the purpose of the Pradisha is in order to put him a sense of a mental state of that he's going into a place of Kedusha. The Zepri Shosei L'Tara, whereas when he's preparing for the Parah Adoma, the reason is we want to be Machmer in his Tara, again because of the thing that the Parah Adoma is being done by a Tzvoyim, again because we said at the beginning of the Masechta, because the Tzedukim claim that it has to be done by somebody who's completely Tahor, so Davka, we go against them, and we have it done by a Tevoyim, but now because of that, we have to apply all these other chumras to the Parah Adoma, so people don't get careless with it. Therefore, we therefore do not allow the other koinim to touch him. We apply a very high level of tara to him, and we say, like we say in other contexts, that anybody who is not preparing for the Parah Adoma is actually considered tamei relative to somebody who is. So therefore, any of the other koyanim, even though objectively they're tahor, we treat them as though they were tameh, and we don't allow them to touch the koyan gadol. Now, so the question is, of these three tanoim before, Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, and Rav Chanina Skana koyanim, which one would this braisa follow? So the Gemara says, Kiman, who would it be like? Or Rav Meir, or Rav Yossi. Apparently it has to be like either Rav Meir or Rav Yossi. The ear of Chanina Skana koyanim, ho ikanami ha. Because according to Rav Meir, both the Kohen Hasor of Sapara and the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur are sprinkled every day. According to Rabbi Yossi, both of them are only sprinkled on the third and seventh day. So according to him, you can say there's a similarity there. But according to Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohenim, you have another difference. One is sprinkled every day, and the other one is sprinkled only the third and the seventh day. So it seems that this braisa that we just quoted can't be a coincidence of a chanina skana koinin. So therefore, so that's it. So this braisa would have to be a coincidence of one of the other tanoim. Tosfos actually points out, I mean, we should say according to everybody, there's another difference. The Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur goes to Lishkas Parhedrin, and the other one, the one for the Parah Adumah, goes, we said at the beginning of the Masechta, to Lishkas Al Pnei Abira, to some other chamber in front of the Bira, which we said the Bira was either the Beis Mikdash as a whole, or a particular building, or a particular area within the Harabayas. So why don't we list that difference? So Tosfos says, because we're just talking about things as far as milus, as far as the importance of one versus the other. This that you have, that one is in one lishka and the other is in the other lishka, that's not considered something particularly important. Or Tosfos then brings up and discusses another possibility. Maybe when we say about the Parah Adumah that he's Pushasa L'Kedusha, maybe it's the other way around. When we learned, like Rashi says, that Prishasya L'Kedusha means the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur is being separated for the purpose of Kedusha, namely, that because he's going to be going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whereas the other one for the Parah Adumah is Prishasya L'Tara, and therefore we want to have a high level of Tara. Tosfos over here discusses a possibility that maybe it's the other way around. The Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur is Prishasya L'Kedusha, namely, where do we put him? In Lishkas Parhedrin. And Lishkas Parhedrin is in the Azara, as opposed to the other one before the Parah Adumah is a Lishkas Al Pnei Abira. It's in the Harabai. It's fine. It has a greater level of kedusha than the rest of Yerushalayim, but not really. It doesn't really have more kedusha than the rest of Yerushalayim. What it has is more tara, because in Yerushalayim itself, a Zav or Baal Keri would be able to be there. Whereas on the Harabais, they can't be. So the vort would be, Tosfos says, the Lishkas Parhedrin, where the Kohen Gadol stays during the week before Yom Kippur, is built in the Azara, therefore it's in a place of greater Kedusha. Now, necessarily, though, Tosfos says, it does have to be that it has an opening outside of the Azara. If it was only open into the Azara, then it would have the din of the Azara itself. Then the Kohen Gadol wouldn't be able to sit there. He certainly wouldn't be able to sleep there. So it has to be that it's half Kodesh and half Chol. But nevertheless, at least it is built in the airspace of the Azara, and therefore it's a place of greater Kedusha than the Lishka Shal Pnei Abira, which is just some place on the Harabais, which has a lower level of Kedusha than the Beis Mikdash proper. So in any case, the point is that Tosfos says again that so two possibilities again. One is that the fact that we put them in different chambers is not an important enough difference to mention, or the other one is that we are actually mentioning it by saying Zeh Prishasa L'Kedusha, Zeh Prishasa L'Tara, we are actually referring to the different kinds of Lashachas that we put the two of them in respectively. Okay. Fine. So that's that. So we have the three opinions: Reb Meir, Reb Yosi, and Reb Chanina Skana Koinim. We said that the last brayse that we quoted apparently is according to either Reb Meir or Reb Yosi, not according to Reb Chanina Skana Koinim. And we explain why each of them holds the way they do. But their machlokas has nothing to do with Tumah Dechuya or Hutra B'Tzibur, which is why we had brought it in the first place. Their machlokas they both agree Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, and therefore we want to take steps to make sure that the Kohen Gadol before the Korbanos Tzibur is as tohar as possible, and therefore we need to sprinkle them with Parah Adumah water. Okay. Now, we said according to Reb Meir, both of them are sprinkled every day, and according to Reb Chanina Skana Koinim, the one who's making the Parah Adumah is going to be sprinkled every day. Now, let's figure that out. Maskif lo Reb Yosi Reb Chanina, why do we need to sprinkle them every day? Asked Reb Yosi Reb Chanina. Vishleimed Risha and Shemesh Shlishi, I understand why we need to sprinkle them the first day of the Prisha, because it might really be the third day that he's Tomei. He might have become Tomei 2 days ago without knowing it, and today is really the third day. Same thing, Sheni Shemesh Shlishi, the second day, same thing, might really be the third day. Shlishi Shemesh Shlishi, the third day might really be the third day. He might have become Tomei on the actual day we separated him. Then, now let's skip the fourth for a moment. Chamishi Shemashri, the fifth day might really be the seventh day, because again, maybe he became Tame 2 days before we separated him. Shishi Shemashri, Shvi Shemashri. So therefore, we understand why 6 of the 7 days we need to sprinkle him. Each of those days might be the third day or it might be the seventh day. El Ravi Lomali Hazar Klal, but ask Rav Yosi ben Chanina, why do we need to sprinkle him on the fourth day at all? There's no suffix, there's no possibility that's the third day, because we know he didn't become Tame since we separated him, and it can't be the seventh day, because for it to be the seventh day would mean that there had to be a sprinkling 4 days earlier, and there wasn't. 4 days earlier was the day before we separated him, so what's the point of sprinkling him on the fourth day? It's not, it can't be the third, it can't be the seventh, so what would be the point? So in other words, why are we saying that we sprinkle him all 7 days? We should be saying that maximum we sprinkle him 6 out of the 7 days. So the Gemara says, V'li tai meich, nu, and according to your svara that you're even asking the question, Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina, hazar kol shiva mi'ika, after all, you have to ask anyway, how do you do hazar all 7 days? We know that sprinkling with paradrum water is also, is a shavuos. It's something also on Shabbos and Yom Tov Derabanan for reasons that we talk about in Masechta Pesachim. One reason being because it's like we're fixing up the person. We're making him able to eat truma and kodshim, and therefore, and we can't be masakin things on Shabbos. So therefore, we don't do it Derabanan on Shabbos. And the Ein Deicha is a Shabbos, so it's not Deicha Shabbos. So anyway, one of these 7 days, within 7 days, you always have a Shabbos. So one of those 7 days, anyway, we're not going to be mazah him. So anyway, even if you don't ask a question about the fourth day, it means there's 1 day during those 7 days when you can't sprinkle him.
We don't say the Ein Shabbos the Middash.
We sometimes do say Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash, that's a good point. However, we often do say that. However, one thing is we say Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash where we need it for the Avodah that day. Here what it is we're sprinkling him in order that a later day he's going to be able to do the Avodah. For example, we're sprinkling him, let's say, Erev Yom Kippur. Suppose that Erev Yom Kippur is Shabbos. We're sprinkling him, which is the seventh day. We want to sprinkle him so we can do the Avodah the next day in the Bais Mikdash. That we don't say Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. So Ela Mai Islach Meimar. Besides, which also, when you get down to it, the Hazar is not directly part of the Avodah. Not only the Hazar is not part of the Avodah, but when you get down to it, the Hazar doesn't have to be done in the Bais Mikdash either. Practically speaking, the guy, the Kohen Gadol, is staying in Lishkas Bahedrin, so the actual Hazar probably does take place in the Bais Mikdash. But there's nothing intrinsic about Hazar that it has to be in the Bais Mikdash. So the Gemara says, Ela Mais Lachamemer. So what are you going to have to answer? Obviously, it means Shiva Levar Mishabbos. Obviously, it means the seventh day means it's except for Shabbos. In other words, you're right. It means only 6 out of 7 days. Hachanami, Shiva Levar Mirabi. The same thing. When we say 7 days, we sprinkle him according to Rav Meir and according to Rav Chanina Skana Kohenim for the Kohen who's doing the Parah Aduma. It means 6 out of the 7 days. It means every day except the fourth day. Because you're right. There's no particular need to do it on the fourth day. Amar Rava. So Rava says in this connection, Hilkach. So therefore, now obviously we want to maximize the number of times that we can do the Hazar. We don't want to have to push off the Hazar if we don't have to. So Hilkach, therefore, Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, Deloy b'Didan Tal Yom Milsa. Now, what day of the week Yom Kippur comes out on doesn't depend on us. We can't manipulate it too much. Ela b'Kvir D'Yarcha Tal Yom Milsa. It depends when they were Makadish the Chodesh. So Yom Kippur, in principle, can be any day of the week. There is actually a machlokas rishonim. We have rules nowadays, for example, Lo Yadu Rosh, and as far as Yom Kippur, the rule would be that Yom Kippur can't be on Sunday, Tuesday, or Friday. Were they Noyag in that back when they were Makadosh or Piyariya as well, or were they not, and Yom Kippur could be on any day of the week? There are Mishnayos that seem to imply that Yom Kippur could be on Friday, but the question is, does that mean that it actually happened, or does it just mean that hypothetically, if it happened, this would be the din? In any case, so Rava is saying, so the Yom Kippur can be on various days of the week. We can't control what day it is. Therefore, with Tlosa B'Tishrei Bo Lafrushi, so we always have to have the Kohen Gadol's Prisha begin on the 3rd of Tishrei, 7 days before Yom Kippur. V'chol Emes Mesrami Tlosa B'Tishrei Mafreshin. So whatever day of the week that happens to be is the day we're going to be Mafreshin. If that means, therefore, that the 3rd or the 7th day is going to be on Shabbos, okay. then there's nothing we can do about it. In fact, the Rambam paskens that in that case, we don't do the Hazar on that day. Because again, since the Hazar is only meant as in case he became Tomei, the chance that he was actually Tomei is fairly low. Therefore, we're not going to be Doicha Shabbos for it. If it comes out, let's say, so they separated him on, the 3rd of Tishrei, it was a Thursday. So the 3rd day of the Prisha, Hey Tishrei, comes out on Shabbos. Okay, so we won't sprinkle him. There's no choice. But when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, who's going to be preparing the Parah Adumah, the Bididan Talia Milsa, now that does depend on us. We're able to control. We don't have to do the Parah Adumah on a part, the Parah Adumah doesn't just have to be at random on any day of the week. We can control what day of the week it should be done. Therefore, therefore, what we're going to do is, we're going to separate, we're going to start his 7 days of separation on Wednesday. That way, the 4th day of his Prisha will come out on Shabbos. And we said that anyway, based on Rav Yosef of Chanina's question, the 4th day we're anyway not sprinkling him, because neither the 3rd nor the 7th. So that way, we really are able to sprinkle him every other day without a problem, without Shabbos interfering with it. So therefore, we dafka separate him on Wednesday, and that way, the one day that we don't need to sprinkle him anyway is Shabbos when we can't sprinkle him. And that's the halach. There is actually an interesting point over here. The Noda Behuda writes in one place that maybe when we say that Hazar is a Shavuos and it's not Doicha Shabbos, he says maybe only the Hazar on the 7th day is not Doicha Shabbos, because the 7th day is the day that he actually becomes Tahor. Maybe the Hazar on the 3rd day would be Doicha Shabbos, because he's not becoming Tahor with that one anyhow. So Achronim asked on him based on our Gemara over here. And the Nesivus, I think, asks on him, the Chavastas, whatever, asks on him based on our Gemara over here, where it seems that neither one is Deicha Shabbos. And he says maybe, in fact, the Noda Behuda forgot our Gemara. However, there's a different place where the Noda Behuda himself addresses it and says he didn't forget anything. He would rather say it's different when the person is being sprinkled Vadai, whereas here the whole thing is only because of Suffolk. So therefore, the one for the 3rd day is not going to be Deicha Shabbos either. But if we knew that he was Vadei Tomei, and we need to sprinkle him, then maybe the sprinkling on the 3rd day would be Deicha Shabbos. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Lishkas Parhedrin, Pullah, that we separate the Kohen Gadol and we send him to Lishkas Parhedrin. So the word Parhedrin means officials, means like appointees. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn it right, said Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi lishkas parhedrin, ha'isa, was it lishkas parhedrin? Why are we calling it parhedrin, which means people appointed by the king, who are replaced every so often, v'ale lishkas bulvati, ha'isa, wasn't it the lishka of the bulvati, which means sorim? Both the word parhedrin and bulvati are Greek words. Parhedrin, again, means like people appointed by the king who are replaced every so often, like government officials that every so often are fired and the new ones are taken on instead. Bulvati is more like noblemen or rich people or senators or whatever who serve for life, basically. So that's the proper name of the Lishka, is Lishkas Bulvati. Why are we calling it Lishkas Parhedrin? So Rabbi Yehuda says, originally they called it Lishkas Bulvati because the Kohenim Gedolim were very noble and important people, and they were appointed for life. But eventually there came a point when people started paying money to be appointed Kohenim Gedolim, as we know from various places in the Gemara, that they would bribe the kings of the Hashmonaim to appoint them as Kohenim Gedolim. And many of these people would not live out the year as Kohen Gadol, as the Gemara is going to say later on. We're going to talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol gets replaced every year. The Kohenim Gadolim are getting replaced every year. And actually, it actually says Machlifin Oisa, they would change the chamber every year, because every new Kohen Gadol, just like we said, we learned before that when it came to the ramp. We learned in Shkolim that there was a ramp, like a causeway that they built from Yerushalayim to Har HaZeisim, from the Beis Mikdash to Har HaZeisim, where they would take out the Parah Adumah on it in order to make sure that it doesn't become Tomei. And we said every Kohen Gadol who prepared a new paraduma would tear down the old causeway and build a new one. So the same thing over here. Every person who became Kohen Gadol would tear down this room and rebuild it in order that it should be called by his name. So therefore, the room itself is replaced every year. So the parhedrin halolosh machlifim ba'isim kol shnei masach chodesh. So those are just like parhedrin that are replaced, where the king replaces them every year. Lefichah chayu karinos lishkas parhedrin. Therefore they nickname the room lishkas parhedrin because, like parhedrin, they get the room gets replaced every year. Tosfos Yeshanim points out a little bit differently. When we say that they gave money to the kings of the Chashmonaim, not necessarily. The Chashmonaim themselves were Kohenim Gadolim. So you wouldn't have other people paying them money in order to become Kohen Gadol. Rather, he says that what it means is that, well, the printed Tosfos Yeshanim in front of us says it was Malchei Beis David, but that's a mistake. It's supposed to be. It's a printer's mistake. It's supposed to be Malchei Beis Hurdus. Once Hurdus and his descendants took over and ruled over Eretz Yisrael for the last 103 years before the Churban, they weren't Kohenim. So therefore, in their times, you had people that were buying the Kohuna Gdola. And again, many of them would not last out the year. There's a different explanation, actually, that some people want to say that it doesn't mean that not necessarily every one of them died after a year in office. Not necessarily did every one of them die in the Kodesh and the Kedushim. But rather, what it was is every year they would have, you'd have somebody else is offering more money, so the king would fire the old Kohen Gadol and appoint a new one. Whatever the case, the point is, every year they had a new Kohen Gadol, and therefore every year they'd be replacing the Kohen Gadol, and they'd be replacing this chamber, and therefore they named it Lishkas Behedrin. There is, in fact, an interesting idea that some historians say, you find in Doris Rishonim and in some other Sfarim, that what it was is throughout most of the time of the second Beis Mikdash, he says there were two different offices that were named Kohen Gadol. One was a political one. You had, for example, the kings of the Chashmonaim had the title Kohen Gadol. In fact, there's coinage of theirs, for example, where it says, for example, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yonasan Kohen Gadol, whatever. And then you had the actual serving Kohen Gadol, the one who would go into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur and do the Avoida, and the one who, as we're going to say later in the Perek, can do the Avoida anytime he wants. So the idea would be, in other words, the kings had the title Kohen Gadol as like a political title, but then, practically speaking, you'd have somebody needs to be appointed to be a day-to-day Kohen Gadol, to bring the Minchas Chavitin, etc. And those would be the ones that were saying that would pay money for the privilege of that. The Gemara is going to later on point out that these people were Rishoyim, and therefore many of them didn't live through when they went into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and they die in there. On the other hand, the Rebbe talks about Lamal Yusa. You see the greatness of these people, that they want so much to have that experience of going into the Kodesh HaKadosh and experiencing the ultimate level of Kedusha, that they're even willing to risk their lives for it and to pay huge sums of money for the ability to risk their lives for it, to be able to experience that Kedusha once in their lifetime. Okay, since we're mentioning Parhedrin, so the Gemara digresses to mention another context where we talk about Parhedrin. Again, these officials. Tanan Hossam, we learn in a mission in Masechet Dmai, Hanachtoimin, bakers, so they're baking and selling bread. So now, if they buy their grain, if they buy their flour from Amei Ha'aretz, and therefore the flour is Dmai, the Chachamim did not require them to take all of the maisris and everything out of the bread they bake, only trumas maiser, which has to be given to the Kohenim, and challah, because it only becomes chayv and challah when they make it into dough. So the question is, in other words, they don't have to separate out, in particular, they don't have to separate out maiser shein. Now, Maaser Rishon, they anyway don't have to. They anyway just have to separate out Maaser Rishon, and then they can keep it for themselves, because since Maaser Rishon has no Kedusha, then all it is Mammon for the Levim. So if the Levi comes and demands it, then the baker can tell him, Amotzi Mechaver Levaraya, prove that this grain was not Maaser, that it was Tevel, and I'll give you the Maaser Rishon. So, but Maaser Sheni or Maaser Oni, usually a person would have to give from Dmai. Here we're saying the Chachamim patered bakers from doing that. So the question is why? B'shlema truma gdola loy. Now we understand why the Chacham didn't require them to take truma gdola, because nobody needs to take truma gdola from Dmai. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, how did the Takona of Dmai come about? L'fisha sholach b'chol gvor Yisrael, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was the original one, as it says at the end of Sota, who made the Gzeira about Dmai, he sent messengers throughout Eretz Yisrael, v'rosh en mafishin ala truma gdola bovad, he found that all the Amei Ha'aretz were separating only truma gdola. So now most of the Amir Oretz was separating the other Maestros as well, but there was a significant minority that were not, and that's why he was misacking the concept of Demai. So therefore, so we understand that the bakers don't need to separate Truma Gdola, because nobody needs to separate Truma Gdola from Demai. We know that the Amir Oretz who grew the crop separated out Truma Gdola. And Maisa Rishon and Maisa Oni Nami Loi, we understand why he doesn't need to separate Maisa Rishon and Maisa Oni, because I'm Motzim Chavela Varaya. If the Levi comes, and that's all he has to do is designate them. He designates 10% as Maisa Rishon, he designates 9% as Maisa Oni, and then if the Levi and the Oni come and say, we want them, then you say, I'm Motzim Chavela Varaya, prove that this was Tevil, and I'll give it to you. And in fact, that's true not only of bakers, as Tosfos points out, that's true of anybody who buys Demai, that they don't have to take, for that reason, they have to designate Maisa Rishon and Maisa Oni, but they don't actually have to give them to the Levi and the Oni respectively. So they have to designate Maisa Rishon in order to designate Trumas Maisa from it, but then they can keep the Maisa Rishon and eat it. Ela Maisa Sheni, but why are we saying that the baker is a potter from giving Maisa Sheni? Nifreshu, they should have to designate it, the Nisku Venechlo B'Yishalayim, and then they should be required, like any Maisa Sheni, to bring that Maisa Sheni to Yishalayim and eat it over there, or to be poideth and take the money to Yishalayim and bring it. Why are we pottering them from that, which we don't do by anybody else with Dmai? Anybody else who buys Dmai, we do require them to separate out Maisa Sheni from it and treat it like the usual dinim of Maisa Sheni. Why are the bakers different? Omar Ullah, so Ullah says, he was where the Parhedrin come in. These Parhedrin, these people appointed by the king or by the government, and they serve for 12 months, and then the king fires them and replaces them with new ones. So throughout the 12 months that they're in charge, they're always beating the bakers for Omrim Lahem and telling them, Michru Bezoil, sell cheaply. In other words, therefore these poor bakers are barely able to make a profit because these Parhedrin, these government officials, are forcing them to sell at the lowest possible price. So therefore, Loyat Rechun and Abban, and therefore the Chacham did not want to be Matriach them, to take out Maisa Sheni, because as it is, they're barely making ends meet anyway. They're barely making any profit from their bread because the Parhedrin are forcing them to sell cheaply. Therefore, the Chachamim gave them a break and said, "Listen, Roiv Amir Oretz Maisa and Hain. Most Amir Oretz do take out the proper Maisa. Therefore, it's only a suffix whether the Maisa was taken. Therefore, we can get away and not require you to take Maisa Sheni over here." Tosfos and Tosfos Yishonim over here discuss, why don't we say, for example, that they should separate out the Maisa Sheni, and then they can be mechallel on a pruta. After all, I mean, Me'ikar Adin, you have to do it for the proper amount of money, but b'di'evit, if you do it on a pruta, then it's good enough. But actually, Tosfos Yishonim says it's not so simple. Maybe only nowadays you can do that when there's no Bais HaMikdash, not necessarily then when there was. And also, what if the person doesn't have a shav of pruta available right now? Okay. The Gemara says, my Parhedrin. What's the definition of Parhedrin? It was a Greek word. They weren't as familiar with it in Babel. So, Pursi, it means government officials. Pkidei HaMelech, Rashi says. So, again, these people are forcing the bakers to sell cheaply. Therefore, we give the bakers a break, and we don't force them to take Maisa Sheni from the Dmai that they got. They only have to take out Trumas Maisa, because that has Kedusha, and it has to go to the Koyin. And Chala, which it only becomes Chayiv and Chala when they make the dough. But there's another place where we see the word Parhedrin, just like we mentioned about the Kohenim Gedolim over here, who during the time of the second Bais HaMikdash, they and their chamber was replaced every year, and therefore we called them Parhedrin. Okay, and we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with more about these Kohenim Gedolim who would be replaced every year because many of them passed away, and then we'll get into a long piece of Agadah about these Kohenim Gedolim and about various other related topics.